This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الفقيه هو الفقيه بفعاله ليس الفقيه بنطقه ومقاله وكذا الرئيس هو الرئيس بخلقه ليس الرئيس بقومه ورجاله وكذا الغني هو الغني بحاله ليس الغني بملكه وبماله.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ما بعد. Today inshallah we'll continue from where we left off yesterday. Yesterday we did حسن الظن in Allah, having the best thoughts of Allah, which leads to optimism. Today we'll move on to حسن الظن in other people, having the best thoughts about other people. Of the akhlaq, of the characteristics of the mu'min, is that the mu'min interprets ambiguous phrases in a positive manner. You know, in our interactions throughout our day and night, throughout our talking with people, emailing people, interacting with people, phrases are going to be said, incidents are going to occur. And we don't know, was it meant to be a sarcastic comment? Was it meant to put us down? Was it meant to make fun of us? Or it's something innocent. The Sharia tells us that we try our best to find a way out in a positive manner. We think the best thoughts of other people. We don't have evil thoughts, su'ul dhan. We have husna dhan. And we always interpret an ambiguous phrase in the most positive of light, in the most innocent of light. We don't read in evil intentions. We don't read in negative assumptions. On the contrary, the believers interact with one another with pure hearts, and they read in the best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Hujurat, O you who believe, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم. Avoid most of suspicion, because some of it is actually sinful. Dhan is your assumption. Dhan is when you assume and it's not clear. It's an ambiguous thing and you made an assumption. Allah said, avoid the majority of assumption. We'll get to exceptions. Those are the exceptions. The default, we avoid assumption. Why? Because sometimes assumptions are actually sinful. You will be discredited in the eyes of Allah. You will be potentially punished. Your actions will do something that will bring about Allah's punishment because you had an evil assumption. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith is in Bukhari, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنِّ. I warn you against assumptions. Don't assume. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنِّ. Because فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. The most lying of all speech is your own assumptions. When you assume and it wasn't intended that way. And then he went on and he said, and don't spy on one another, and don't backbite, and don't backstab, and don't hate one another. Rather, all of you, كُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانَا. All of you be brethren for the sake of Allah. This beautiful hadith, it begins with don't assume things. Why? Because all breaking of bonds begins with an evil assumption. That's how it all begins. So the Prophet ﷺ ends the hadith, all of you be brethren, and the beginning of it is, don't assume things. And subhanAllah, in the incident of Aisha, the slander of Aisha, when some of the munafiqun said what they said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticized them in the Quran. And Allah says, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. Why didn't you think the best thoughts when you heard this slander? Why did your mind have to go to the worst? Why didn't you think the best thoughts? This is in the Quran, and this is a reminder for all of us. So what is some practical advice that we can do to avoid evil thoughts, to avoid having these assumptions of our brethren? Number one, we begin with the most important, and that is, stop caring what other people are saying in the first place. The fact of the matter is, much of this goes back to our own ego and our own sensitivities. If we conquer our own ego, if we have a thicker skin and we don't read in every single time, we are not the center of attention. If somebody says something in a generic gathering, don't just think, oh, he meant me. The very fact you're thinking this, frankly, assumptions say more about your own heart than it does about the hearts of others. I know this is a blunt statement, but it is a factual statement. When you assume, in reality, you are certainly showing what you believe, and you are not so certain about what the other person believes. So assumptions say more about you than they do about the other person. And that's why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who says everybody is destroyed, he assumes everybody is evil. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is the most evil of them. And he is the one who destroys them. When you assume everybody's evil, when you assume everybody's destroyed, then in reality, your ego is so much, you are the worst amongst them. So stop reading in and stop thinking you're the center of attention and any phrase was about you and anything that was said was intended about you. We have to develop a thicker skin here and just not care that much. Our Prophet ﷺ said of the perfection of one's iman is you don't get involved with that which is not of your business. So this is point number one. Point number two, if it is something you really must, you know, get involved with, if it is something that really is bothering you, then find an explanation that has a way out. Have some husn al-dhan and think of an excuse. Think maybe he meant this, and then let that thought go away. So you create a husn al-dhan. You create an excuse for your brother. And we see this in a beautiful hadith, also in Sahih Bukhari, that a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, O Messenger of Allah, my wife gave birth to a child of a different skin color than me. You see the assumption here, right? So the Prophet ﷺ, he wanted to get rid of this. There's no other doubt. It's just in his mind. There's no evidence. It's just in his mind something is wrong. So the Prophet ﷺ said, do you own camels? He said, yes. What is the color of those camels? Reddish brown. Is there any camel that is a different color? Yes, there is one that is white. You know, the whitish camel. So the Prophet ﷺ said, how did that white camel end up amongst all of these? How did that camel come when all of the ancestors are reddish brown? So the man said, perhaps one of the ancestors had, you know, perhaps it was some, yani, we would say DNA, but he said, an irqa, a blood vessel. Perhaps one of the ancestors, this child is showing that. So the Prophet ﷺ said, so as well, perhaps your child is going back to one of those ancestors as well. Just get rid of it. Find an excuse and get rid of this doubt. This is stage number two, husn al-dhan. One of the scholars of the past, Bishr al-Hafi, he said, if you cannot invent an excuse for your brother, then say to yourself, maybe he has an excuse that my imagination cannot find. It's something in his life, I don't know, but still say there's an excuse. So this is point number two, create an excuse. Point number three, suppose the doubt is still there and it's gnawing inside of you. Well then, tathabbut, verify, confirm. Don't just base something on allegations, on rumors, on hearsay. If somebody comes to you and says something, oh, you know what somebody said? Firstly, we have said many times this should not be done. Ghiba and namima should not be done. Even if something happened in a gathering, nobody should go and tell other people about that gathering. Suppose somebody does come, do not make an assumption simply by hearsay. Allah says in the Quran, oh, you who believe, when a fasiq, when an evil person comes to you with any news, verify that news. Anyone who tattletales is not a trustworthy person. Right there, he's shown that he's an evil person. So when somebody comes and says, hey, you know what? I was in a gathering and that person said this about you. Verify, if you must. Point number three, verify. Tathabbut. Point number four, if the thought is still not going away and it might affect your relationship, well then, before you do anything, you must, in a very gentle manner, bring it up directly in front of him and ask him an explanation directly. If your mind cannot think of one, if you cannot have any alternative other than to confront the brother or sister, well then, that is what must be done. This is the Islamic mannerisms. If you must deal with a person and something happened that you cannot find an explanation for and it's going to harm that relationship, well then, rather than assume, rather than base and destroy a relationship, confront in a gentle manner. Akhi, somebody has said that this occurred. I want to understand, did this actually happen? And maybe I misunderstood, or what is the reason? You have to bring it up directly. And we learned this from the seerah as well. How many times did something happen? And the Prophet ﷺ, being the leader, he has to verify. He never made a judgment without bringing the person and asking that person. And in the most famous incident of Hatib, you know, long story, but Hatib basically gave the coordinates of the attack on the conquest of Mecca. He sent a letter to the Quraysh. He said, the Prophet will be attacking from this direction. This is the betrayal of the highest magnitude. They discovered the letter. It's signed Hatim. And the Prophet, somebody wanted to execute him. He said, no, bring him here. I need to talk to him. He called him. He said, Hatib, is this letter true? What happened? Verify. And Hatib said, Ya Rasulallah, I have no desire to commit kufr after my iman. He has a ta'wil. He said, I knew Allah would protect you divinely, but my wife and children are in Mecca, and all of your wives and children are here. So I thought with this letter, at least my wife and child will be safe, otherwise they'd execute. I knew Allah would protect you. Now, long story, he had in his own mind a ta'wil. He wasn't wanting to betray. He knew Allah would protect. He thought he could protect his family that way. So the Prophet said, Hatib is speaking the truth. And he didn't allow anybody to harm Hatib. Point is, something as blatant as treason. And the Prophet said, bring him here, verify. Spoke to him directly. And guess what? An excuse was given that was found to be acceptable. Hatib's heart was not with the Quraysh, but he felt a weakness. My wife and children are going to be executed. He thought this could protect them. So he was forgiven because of that. My point is, when you hear something that cannot, find any way out, even then, do not pass judgment. Come and explain. Have the person explain. And even if the explanation is given, and it is something that is not fully defensible, but the person apologizes. Ka'b ibn Malik, the incident. Ka'b ibn Malik did not have a valid excuse. And Ka'b said, Ya Rasulullah, in the incident of Tabuk, again, all of these are incidents from the seerah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I actually don't have an excuse, but I'm sorry. Subhanallah. That phrase that, I'm sorry I did what I did. I shouldn't have done this. Eventually Allah accepted the tawbah. So we also have to be forgiving. Sometimes our brothers make mistakes like we make mistakes as well. And then finally, when all is said and done, even if one negative was marked against your brother, even if something happened that shouldn't have happened, he said something he shouldn't have said, still our sharia says, we look at the broader picture and we see the good in light of the bad. We don't judge an entire relationship based upon one incident. That's not fair. We all make mistakes. And if the brother is repentant, if the brother says sorry and wants to make up, and this is beautifully proven in the incident, again in Sahih Bukhari, where a drunkard was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Constantly he was brought. One time, two times, four times he was brought. And he was being punished in front of the Sahaba. And one of them said, La'natullahi alayk. Don't you have any shame? How many times you have to be brought in front of the Prophet ﷺ? The Prophet ﷺ turned to that person who said, La'natullahi alayk, and said, don't say that. Don't help shaitan against your brother. Fawallahi, I only know of this brother that he loves Allah and his messenger. Subhanallah, a drunkard. But he has good deeds as well. He was praying regularly, giving salah, fasting, and he has a private sin, and that sin got him into trouble. Don't make it worse. He's being punished. He has offered his excuse. Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to forgive. You don't have to say Allah's la'an is on you. The Prophet weighed the good and the bad. He said, yes, he is drinking, and that's a bad thing. But I also know that he has good deeds as well. This is a man who has shown he loves Allah and his messenger. This is the Islamic way, brothers and sisters. None of us is perfect. And sometimes a good friend, a colleague, a relative says something or does something that is ambiguous and has the potential to hurt our feelings. Before we break the friendship, before we break those bonds, follow these steps. If you can ignore it, fine. If you can find a makhraj, a husna dhan, the best thing, get it out of your mind. Don't think about it. Verify before you do anything. If you must, then at least confront the brother politely. Figure out what's going on. And if even he did, and it was something wrong, even then, if he asks forgiveness, then forgive. The final point. Yes, we have husna dhan, but we are not fools. And sometimes people do want to harm us. And for those people, when it is clear and obvious that somebody is treacherous or deceitful, well then, our Prophet ﷺ said that the believer is not stung from the same hole twice. So yes, we don't have husna dhan all the time. When it is clear that somebody is evil and somebody wants to harm, that's why Allah says, avoid much of suspicion. Allah does not say avoid all suspicion. Sometimes when the evidences are clear that an enemy of Islam wants to do something, in that case there is no husna dhan, and so we act upon our caution. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that wisdom, and inshallah we'll continue tomorrow.
إن الفقيه هو الفقيه بفعاله ليس الفقيه بنطقه ومقاله وكذا الرئيس هو الرئيس بخلقه ليس الرئيس بقومه ورجاله وكذا الغني هو الغني بحاله ليس الغني بملكه وبماله.